This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being on Joy 94.9.
On Joy 94.9.
Joy, joy, joy.
Hello and welcome to Well, 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 the show brought to you live every Tuesday from midday by the Victorian AIDS Council. My name is Adam and I'm here with the fabulous Tessie Marie. How are you today, my dear?
I'm very well, Adam. I've told you before, it's Tex.
Tex. Oh, sorry.
You're so naughty.
Oh.
How are you, Adam?
I'm very, very well. But before we get started, big thanks to Derek for the news and thanks to Gazman, as usual, for the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
So, how are we today? It's a bit chilly.
It's a bit chilly here in Melbourne, but on Thursday I'm heading to Cairns to do some training. It's 30 degrees there today, so I'm so looking forward to the warmth.
Well, you can shut up about that. if you've never tuned in to us before, well, welcome.
Mm-hmm. Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard to Well, Well, Well. So we actually talk about topics that relate to the GLBT community. We're all about sex, health and well-being. But Tex, in terms of the sex, health and well-being, what are we talking about today?
Well, today we have another action-packed show and it's all about the Australasian Society for HIV Medicine Conference, or ASHAM as we like to say, that was held last week in Brisbane.
We do love an acronym, so ASHAM's quite easier to say, I think.
It is indeed. First off, we're going to be chatting with Harry McNulty. He's the team leader from the health promotion program at the Victorian AIDS Council about some of the health findings that were at the conference. And then later on, we're going to be chatting with Jeremy Wiggins. Now, Jeremy is a founding member of PASH.TM. That's the Peer Advocacy Network for the Sexual Health of Trans Masculinities. Now, he's also a project worker at the Victorian AIDS Council's Alcohol and Other Drugs Service, but we have him on as he was a presenter at the conference, and we'll chat about both his presentation and the group PASH.TM.
Yeah, I think in terms of the conferences that go around, and there are quite a few conferences around, ASHAM is actually sort of one of the ones that's a little bit up there, I think, where some of the research findings or the presentations that are given are not the usual presentations or the usual findings that are released. So I'm very interested to sort of delve in because I didn't get to go and you didn't get to go either.
No.
So we'll be able to get a little bit of an insight. But,
indeed.
Tex, if any of the people out there listening have any questions or would like to know anything about the ASHAM conference or ask one of our guests a question, how can they get in contact with us?
Well, as always, Adam, there's
a plethora.
There's a plethora, indeed, of ways to get in contact with us. You can like us via our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. Or you can call in to the station here at Joy on the telephone line. You can speak to the gorgeous Darren, who's out there on the phone, 1300-JOY-949. Or if you'd like to contact us here in the studio, you can send us an email or an SMS. The email address, onair@joy.org.au, or send us an SMS, 0427-JOY-949, or we're right there in the 21st century, you can even tweet us at wellwellwelljoy.
And we do get the emails and the SMSs directly here in the studio, so that's direct contact, direct question. So ask us and we can respond.
Ask away.
Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we are joined now via phone with Harry McNulty, the team leader of health promotion from the Victorian AIDS Council. Welcome, Harry. How are you going today?
Fantastic. How are you?
Very, very well. Thank you very much. So, Harry, obviously you went to the ASHAM conference, and we're just going to call it ASHAM because actually saying it full is actually...
It's a bit of a mouthful.
It is a bit of a mouthful. So what did you learn most from the conference, or what did you get most out of the conference?
Well, first of all, the conference was an absolutely fantastic experience. It sort of slotted on to the tail end of the World HIV and STI conference. So the most important thing I think that came out of the conference was really the role of biomedical interventions and the role they're playing in the sort of global sort of HIV prevention space. Professor Bob Grant who is the professor or the sort of chief investigator of the IPREX-OLA study. Professor Bob Grant was there, and we heard a range of different things from Bob Grant. But really, what the difference in talking to Bob Grant and listening to him speak was really the hands-on experience that he has in working with PrEP users. The main thing we heard from Bob really was that there was no seroconversions in his study that where people had taken 4 PrEP pills or more. So it was really good to hear from Bob.
And Harry, could you just explain for our listener, perhaps they're not certain about what the term PrEP means. Could you just unwind PrEP just a little bit for the listener?
Yeah, so PrEP is basically antiretroviral treatment that a person can take to prevent HIV transmission. So it's a daily pill that people take.
And so, obviously, you were saying that there's no seroconversion. So if people are taking enough of the medication, then you can, I guess, prevent HIV transmissions? Is that kind of what the crux of the study was about?
Yeah, there was some really interesting data come out, and really it's a daily regimen, but where people had taken at least 4 pills a week, they were protected against HIV. Something that really was very interesting that Bob also talked about was the very fact that somebody was presenting in his clinic for PrEP, and, you know, that sort of had a risk element in itself if somebody was asking for PrEP, given the criteria that people have to get onto the trials and studies. So really what Bob was talking about was that the difference in the Australian, the way that PrEP investigations are dealt with in Australia when people come to, say, a GP practice. Bob talked about getting people on PrEP straight away, so he would start them straight away. So it's actually influenced some of the practices now in Australia, which was really interesting. So people are now presenting at GP clinics and not having to wait. Some of the GP practices are actually starting to change their practice around getting people on PrEP straight away rather than making them wait.
And so, obviously, you've got the chief investigator of the IPREX-OLA study. So, is this conference more biomedical, or is it more health promotion, or is it combination? Like, who was the conference kind of aimed at, I guess?
I suppose it's a bit of a mixture. It was very community-focused, but also there was some sort of biomedical, sort of medicalized sort of research and report backs for doctors. But there was a real mixture of people. One of the other presentations that was really interesting was the experience of PrEP users on the Vic demonstration project. That was very interesting, and it talked about the high levels of adherence with people in the study in Victoria. And it also talked about a slight increase in condomless sex, but also, more importantly, talked about people enjoying sex, talked about less negativity and stigma around having sex with somebody of a different HIV status. And basically, people reported more pleasure around sex, so that was really good.
And this is Well on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now, joy.org.au.
This is Well on Joy 94.9. If you've just joined us, we're chatting with Harry, the team leader of health promotion at the Victorian AIDS Council. Now, Harry.
Hello.
Harry, indeed, you're back there with us. Good-o. Now, Harry, can you tell us a little about the AFAO community? That's the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations community and the Advocacy Hub. What was that all about?
Basically, the hub was to allow all the member organisations of FAO to have a space where they could showcase some of their work, some of the things that they'd been doing throughout the last 2 years, and basically have a meeting point where people could network from different organisations and have a conversation about how different affected communities are responding to HIV in Australia. So it was a really interesting space.
And so the aim wasn't, I guess, advocacy or community in terms of coming up with this is what we're planning on doing, but it's more of a sort of a sharing and a networking sort of a zone to sort of say, oh, what are you guys doing or what's working and what's happening around different parts of Australia, I guess?
Yeah, totally. And it was a really great space to meet because there was obviously the broad range of FAO membership there. We had AIDS councils, we had the sex worker organisation, Scarlet Alliance, there was also a sort of high number of people there from the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community. So it was a really great space to be around. There was lots of things happening. There was lots of presentations, lots of discussions, and also, you know, lots of conversations around how we can work together and learn from each other's work. So it was really great.
And Harry, what were the main issues that were discussed in the in this hub of people constantly talking about all different sorts of things? What were some of the main topics?
Well, we had a presentation from the Two Spirit Program from the Queensland AIDS Council. And the Two Spirit Program works in the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander space, and it was really great to hear about that program. And there was a panel discussion. We also had NAPWA present, and they talked a little bit about people living with HIV. We had presentations about PrEP. I took part in a panel discussion with different AIDS councils, and we got to hear about different approach taken to PrEP in each state. And so that was a good sort of space where we could share our learning and share some ideas and, you know, see where we can work together on different things.
And so obviously if there are different people sort of, I guess, maybe community members or doctors or GPs or people who are health promoters or part of the FAO membership, how did you decide what was to be discussed, or was it just kind of a free-for-all, or was there an agenda that where people could come along and attend different things, or...?
Yeah, so there was a sort of agenda set out by FAO, so that was pulled together in the sort of weeks leading up to the conference. So you could just sort of decide. A lot of things happened during the morning tea and lunches, and they were in the big hall, so, you know, people could come along and come and go as they please or nip in before a different session. So most things were planned around the sort of breaks and, you know, around when people are grabbing a coffee or a bite to eat so that people can sort of nip in and nip out. So, yeah, there was a bit of a program pulled together, and at different points, different things were launched. There was the Queensland AIDS Council PrEP campaign was launched. Their minister also talked at one of the hub meetings and reinstated some funding for the AIDS Council. So the hub was really the place to be around, you know, times of breaks or times when you know, had a bit of free time.
So forget the conference, just go to the hub, basically.
Yeah, yeah, that's what all happened.
Well, look, Harry, thank you very much for coming on today and having a chat to us about your experience at the ASHAM conference. If people wanted to find out more information about some of the research that had come out of ASHAM or maybe some of the conversations that took place, is there somewhere they can go that would be easily accessible, written in sort of layman's language?
Yeah, I reckon the ASHAM website will have an update, and I know some people have taken videos and stuff, so we'll probably upload them onto the VAC page.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Harry, thanks very much for coming on, and we will chat with you soon.
No worries. Speak to you later. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And now we are joined by Jeremy Wiggins, who is the AOD project worker at the Victorian AIDS Council and founding member of PASH-TM, which is the Peer Advocacy Network for the Sexual Health of Transmasculinities. However, we have him on the show today to talk firstly about the conference or about the presentation that he gave at the conference. So welcome, Jeremy. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Very, very good. So can you tell us what you actually presented on at the ASHAM conference?
Yeah, so I presented with PASH-TM on gay, bisexual and queer transgender men in the HIV response. So we basically did a summary of the current sort of health status and policy positions and research status around the inclusion of transgender men in the HIV sector.
And Jeremy, what was the main point that you wanted to get across to the audience who were there listening to your presentation?
That largely work in this sector excludes transgender men in all aspects and all levels of work with regard to HIV prevention.
And so, obviously, you were talking about that the literature, this is what it's sort of telling us. But is it sort of the same for transgender men and women in relation to sexual health specifically, or is it more broader in terms of mental health and a range of different other issues as well?
I think that when talking about transgender men and transgender women, there's probably a lot more research. Well, there's still a paucity of data in a lot of areas of health and well-being, but there's probably more around mental health than there is around sexual health. There's very limited data available for transgender men in particular around sexual health. There's a few studies coming out of North America, very limited information in Australia. Any research or data that speaks of transgender people, usually it's exclusively transgender women. So when you might see, MSM and transgender at a research conference or when someone's presenting, but that data usually is talking to transgender women because they have a higher burden of the disease. They're estimated at 49 times more likely to acquire HIV than the broader population. But it's not helpful to compare transgender men to transgender women, I guess, in that aspect because it can confound the prevalence.
And so why do you think there is such a lack of research around trans men and sexual health? Do you think it's because nobody's paying attention to it, or do you think that there's not a need for it?
There's definitely a desperate need for it. I think the reason why it doesn't exist is because no one is paying attention to it, and that when research projects are designed, especially around men who have sex with men, they're not designed in a way that actively includes transgender men. For example, the Queensland PrEP demonstration trial that's about to kick off, we contacted them recently asking if they had included trans men or any questions around identifying whether someone would be trans in their research project. And then the answer that we got back was that nowhere in their research protocols or documentation is there a question about whether or not someone is transgender.
Oh, wow.
So we asked again if it was possible to address that, and the response was that they had already submitted their paperwork to ethics and governance as it is, so that they wouldn't be able to change it. But if anyone's involved in research, you know that you can make an amendment to your project. So it could have easily been done. So we raised this as kind of a controversial topic, and have since actually had some good outcomes from that trial. But so basically also the MSM Global Forum and the UN, recently released a new definition of what MSM is, and it's men who have sex with men, and it can include men who identify as gay or bisexual, transgender men who have sex with men, and men who identify as heterosexual. So that's come from the United Nations Population Fund, the Global Forum on MSM and HIV. So really, if organisations or communities or researchers are working under the MSM umbrella and not actively including transgender men in any aspect of that work, then they're not really working with the full MSM population.
Now, Jeremy, is Australia different to other Western countries in the work that's done in research and surveys and stuff?
Well, in terms of population level data, we probably are a little bit behind. I mean, we don't capture much population data on trans people at all. In comparing Australia to, say, North America, there's a little bit more data and research available, but that's probably just because they have more people working. They have a bigger population. There's more groups doing the research. So I think it's an emerging area for Australia.
And do you think that this new definition by the United Nations would actually, I guess, encourage researchers around the world to include trans men in most of it? Or is there still going to have to be a sort of a ground level community push to sort of, I guess, advocate for the inclusion of trans men into research projects that typically include MSM and now this new definition?
I wish that it would be as simple as this new definition would have an overarching sort of change across the sector, but I think there's still going to have to be a lot of grassroots sort of efforts in building relationships, consulting with researchers, consulting with AIDS councils, ensuring that there's sort of, you know, an inclusion strategy, and also for any PrEP trials that have you know, come up in Victoria. There's only 2 transgender men on a PrEP trial in Australia, and that's in Sydney. So I guess my question would be, like, how actively were they looking to include transgender men as a specific population as part of that trial? So I still think there's a lot more meaningful engagement and inclusion that has to occur for the work that's happening to accurately reflect the true meaning of MSM.
Joy. And this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're chatting with Jeremy Wiggins. Now, Jeremy, you're also a founding member of PASHTM, which is the Peer Advocacy Network for the Sexual Health of Trans Masculinities. So can you tell us a little bit about the PASHTM group?
So PASHTM was created out of the World AIDS Conference last year. I presented in partnership with VAC on meaningful inclusion of trans men. And that was with Budi Sidarto, with the health promotion team. And after that, I spoke to a few other trans guys that have been working in sort of the sexual health area for a while. And 4 of us got together at the conference hub and decided we should set up a national working group. And because that conference hub was such an exciting time and there were so many people available to just go and speak to, we were able to form a group really quickly. And then soon after that, we became an official autonomous working group of the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations. So they were really supportive of our group, and we're able to make all the decisions about our project plan, and there's some positive and exciting things coming up with PASHTM.
And Jeremy, who is involved in PASHTM? Is it just those 4 initial people who met at AIDS 2014 last year, or has it evolved into a larger group?
Yeah, we are a large group now. We have 7 people in the group now. So the, you know, original people is Eden St. James, Aram Hosey, Teddy Cook, myself, and now we've recently just appointed also Kai Clancy and Laurie from Sydney. So, and there's a couple of other people in Queensland that are now interested after we presented to join. So it is a growing working group. So yeah, many hands make light work, so that's good.
And obviously there'd be a lot of issues or a lot of ways that you could take the group or the aim of the group or and whatnot. So have you actually come up with a specific aim, because there are so many different avenues in which you could actually make such a great impact?
Yeah, look, I think we don't want to try and reinvent the wheel. We see that there already exists a really well-established HIV sector with AIDS councils and community organisations and sexual health clinics that are working in this space. So I sort of see this personally, and I think that my colleagues would agree, that we want to end up building the capacity of the current sector and the organisations to be able to work more meaningfully with these populations. So, but some of the aims that we want to do is we want to establish a local evidence base regarding HIV and STI risks for trans men who have sex with other men, and educate health providers to deliver culturally safe care to trans men who have sex with men, and develop sexual health promotion campaigns and resources. So that's something that we will be doing over the next year. And hopefully we welcome partnerships with all other AIDS councils and HIV organisations.
Now, Jeremy, how can people get involved or perhaps even learn more information about the group or about trans issues in general?
Every state has a transgender organisation that sort of works with, you know, trans health and wellbeing and advocacy. Probably, you know, PASHTM is quite different because we're a national working group and we're very specific around sexual health. So if people are interested in the sexual health of trans masculine or trans men, they can email us at pashing.tm@gmail.com, and we also have a little part. We're on the FAO website, so just Google PASHTM on the FAO website, which is www.fao.org.au.
And do you have to be trans to be involved in the group, or can you just be an advocate for trans issues, or is it really important that you've actually had the lived experience to be able to get meaningfully involved?
No, I think that you do not have to be have a lived experience of being trans to always like get on board with a group or join a board or to join a working group. We're really open to working with allies and people that have really, you know, good skill sets and interest and passion in wanting to support this community. So, yeah, PASHTM is inclusive of everybody.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for coming on today and telling us about, one, the presentation that you gave at ASHM, and also about this fantastic new PASHTM group. So thank you very much for coming on to Joy today.
Thanks for having me.
No Cheers. Worries. Bye. This is Well on Joy 94.9.
Hi there, Jason Gipps here, Joy 94.9 production manager. Are you a regular listener to our Joy podcast service? Like what you hear? Tell us. Email production@joy.org.au. Tell us something that you've heard that you've particularly enjoyed, and we'll pass it on to the volunteers of our podcast service. Our Joy program production team is made up of around 30 volunteers, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, email production@joy.org.au. And if you love what we're doing, why not support us as a Joy member? You can become a Joy member anytime, online at joy.org.au or call 1300 569 949. Thanks for supporting the diverse sound of a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
This is Well on Joy 94.9. You're with Adam and Tex, and we're heading towards the end of the show, but not just yet. We've had a message that's come in, Adam.
Yes, we have indeed. And what does it read, pray tell, Tessie Marie? Texas, sorry.
It's from Jonathan in Coburg. It says, "Hi, I love listening to your program." Well, thank you, Jonathan. He goes on to say that he was reading the VAC book, Under the Red Ribbon, which was the 30-year history of the organisation. He goes on to say, "Haven't we come a long way with treatment?" Well, we certainly have, Jonathan. If anyone's interested in that book, Under the Red Ribbon, it's available from the Victorian AIDS Council in Claremont Street, South Yarra.
Fantastic. And I actually did have a bit of a read of that when it came out, and it was very, very interesting.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Oh, good eye.
I did, yes. It was very, very interesting indeed. So, yes, I agree with you, Jonathan. I think it's worthwhile reading the book, and I think it gives a really good overview of where we've come from, really.
The book's also available as a website, which is simply called Under the Red Ribbon. So if you go to your favourite search engine, perhaps the one starting with G, and type in Under the Red Ribbon, perhaps 30-year VAC history, that will get you that website. And it's a really interesting read.
And we've got a couple of things coming up events-wise.
We have indeed. One of them is tonight, indeed. And it's a forum. It's a forum on PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, something we were talking about with Harry.
That is indeed correct.
Now, the forum is happening tonight. That's the 22nd of September. It starts at 6:30, but you're suggested that you arrive from 6 p.m. And it's being held at the Herbert Smith Freehills. That's a solicitor's office. It's on level 42. Oh, I wouldn't be going up there. 101 Collins Street in Melbourne. Now, Harry, when he was on the show earlier, mentioned Bob Grant, the medical director at the San Francisco AIDS Foundation, as being one of the speakers last week in the conference that Harry attended. And indeed, Bob Grant is the special guest tonight. He's a very influential figure in the global HIV sector. Now, coming along as well is Professor Edwina Wright, no stranger to the airwaves here at Joy and no stranger to Melbourne because she lives here. She's from the Alfred Hospital and the Burnett Institute. There's going to be an opportunity for the community to ask questions and to discuss issues around PrEP or pre-exposure prophylaxis with a diverse panel of experts. Now, the MC is the policy worker from the Victorian AIDS Council, Heath Painter, and it's his very last day at work today. He's moving on to another community-based organisation. So if you want to catch up with Heath and say thank you for his work as the policy officer at the Victorian AIDS Council, you can come along and see him. That's tonight. Arrive at 6 for 6:30 p.m. start. The Herbert Smith Freehills Solicitors Office on Level 42, 101 Collins Street in Melbourne. If you go to the base of 101 Collins Street in Melbourne, there'll be people ready to show you how to get up to Level 42, basically by the lift.
And we've got Northside Bazaar, if we can mention that quickly, Tex.
Oh, indeed. Northside Bazaar is coming up on Saturday the 10th of October. It's at the Laird Hotel and it's a fundraiser for Joy 94.9 and the Victorian AIDS Council's David Williams Fund, the fund that provides direct financial support and AIDS people living with HIV. It's a really fun day. It happens both in the hotel itself, the Laird Hotel at 149 Gipps Street in Abbotsford, also happens in the street outside the Laird Hotel, Henry Street, and across the road in the Masonic Hall, where there's going to be a live auction at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock and 6:30. It's in three parts. Henry Street itself is transformed into a marketplace. There'll be music, beer, woohoo, auctions and a lot of fun. So that's Saturday the 10th of October from 2 in the afternoon till 8 o'clock at night. And if you want to find out more, just type in Northside Bazaar, that's spelt B-I-Z-A-R-R-E, Northside Bazaar. If you type that into your favourite search engine, you'll get the website that'll give you all sorts of information on this fantastic event.
I know, and I'm very excited to go this year, first time.
So you're going to love it, Adam. Yeah. It's full of leather and all sorts of other delicious things.
That's very, very funny, Texas. but the other way, if you wanted to find out more information about either some of the stalls or exactly what time things are happening, you can get in contact with Alan from the Victorian AIDS Council, who's the events coordinator.
Indeed.
And you can ask him a little bit more detailed information, or you could probably give the Laird a call and they'd be able to fill you in with some of the things. But apparently after 8 o'clock, there's going to be sort of a bit of a party at the Laird.
Bit of a dance party.
Bit of a dance party, unless they've run out of beer or alcohol.
Which indeed. And look, it's one of those exciting days of the Laird. The Laird is a men-only venue, but this is the day where anybody can go to the Laird as long as you're 18 plus. So lots of lesbians and other women will come along just to see what the boys get up to in this exciting place called the Laird Hotel.
And Tex, would you believe it? That's it.
It's not 1 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock.
Time to go.
We've got to jump out.
Okie doke.
Well, thanks very much for listening, guys. And this has been Tessie Marie and Ada Marie on Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
We'll be back next week. Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.